Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Network Sports Update.
The update from One Bills Drive, where the Buffalo Bills head coach Sean McDermott announced today that wide receiver Zay Jones had knee surgery late last week. He is out for the rest of the offseason, the spring portion of the offseason anyway. Jones had surgery last week. He will miss the remainder of the spring, according to McDermott. McDermott said he has no timetable other than it was best to get the knee done now. And at this part, at this point, McDermott said it appears that no part of Zay Jones' 2018 season is in jeopardy. He already was recovering from off-season shoulder surgery for a torn labrum. Now Zay Jones has a knee to go along with that. Bills just now coming off the field after the third and final organized team activity workout of the week. First week of OTAs is over. They'll be back at it again for three more workouts next week, three more the following week, and then they get to the mandatory minicamp in mid-June. NBA Game 5 of the Western Conference Finals is coming up tonight. Two games apiece for Golden State and the Houston Rockets, and that's a 9 o'clock tip-off tonight in Houston. Last night, the Celtics beat the Cavaliers 96-83 in Game 5 of the Eastern Conference Finals, and they now lead that series 3-2. Celtics rookie Jason Tatum had 24 points as Boston earns its 10th straight victory at home. They'll play their Game 6 tomorrow night. Hockey tonight, Game 5 of the Western Conference Finals is tonight. The Capitals have advanced to the Hockey is ready for the finals as the Capitals shut out the Lightning 4-0 in Game 7 last night. They advanced to the finals for the first time in 20 years. They'll take on the Vegas Golden Knights in the finals. Game 1 is coming up on Monday. And the Buffalo Bisons had a 6-game win streak snap last night, a 7-2 loss to the Syracuse Chiefs. The Herd home against the Chiefs this afternoon, 1:05 first pitch at the downtown field, Coca-Cola Field. NFL approved a new policy on pregame ceremonies yesterday at the owners' meetings. The policy requires all team and league personnel to stand if they're on the field. They have the option to stay in the locker room during the anthem. More on that during the course of the show. John Murphy and Steve Tasker here. Steve is out in the main area of the field house getting interviews. We hope to have some of those interviews for you on the air. We're waiting in time and we can go to the podium when the quarterbacks, we believe A.J. McCarron will be the first quarterback that we go to and pick up his news conference live as the players come off the field. Sean McDermott already met with the media. The Bills head coach had a 10:30 news conference here in Orchard Park today. And we'll hear some of that comments a little bit later on. In the meantime, let's go to A.J. McCarron, Bills quarterback A.J. McCarron at the podium after today's OTA workout. Before we get to A.J. McCarron, let's go to the Twitter poll today. And you're welcome to participate. Maybe you have some thoughts on this. Phone line's open if you do, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. We're about midway through the offseason for the Bills and everybody else in the NFL, just about midway. Want to know from you, what should the Bills' number one priority be in this offseason? What do they have to get done? It seems like a lengthy list today when you hear about the injury to Zay Jones, some of the other issues. What's the Bills' biggest objective for their offseason program and why? Again, we'd love to hear you on the air. We've got phone lines open at 803-0550 and outside Buffalo, 888-550-2550. On the Twitter poll so far, installing the new offense is the leader. 43% of you say installing the new offense is the number one priority for the Bills right now. 28% of you say finding an early lead in the quarterback derby. What's the quarterback depth chart going to look like? 28% of you say that should be the biggest objective for the Bills in the offseason program. 27% of you say finding the top three receivers. Zay Jones, I think, complicates that matter now since he's out for the rest of the spring. And 2% have something else in mind. Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Now we go to Bills quarterback A.J. McCarron at the podium after today's OTA workout.
Them goes. I know Sean had told us that he was going to speak to the team and everything about, you know.
Yeah, to be honest, I haven't watched any TV. I mean, the only TV I've watched is the finals at night, but usually I'm drawing plays and making sure I'm going over everything. So, to be honest with you, I haven't even seen what the policy is, like what the ruling is or passed on, or I have no clue, so I couldn't give you an honest answer on
it's
that.
Basically, to boil it down, it's players either need to stand when they're on the field or stay off the field and wait till the national anthem is over. You know, I guess just on the outside of it, is it nice to hear that they're at least looking in and pursuing a way to resolve this, if you will, call it a resolution?
I mean, really, truly, like, I'm just going to do whatever coach tells us to do. And then, I mean, those decisions are bigger than me, higher up, so I'm just going to go with whatever they decide, so.
AJ, what's it been like sharing the reps and the quarterback competition so far? I know it's still early.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun. You compete. You know, I shared reps before, so, but it's fun. I mean, we're out here. Everybody's kind of really learning, you know, especially speaking for myself, like just trying to get timing with guys, you know, first live action, but it's been fun, and it's always fun to compete.
Kelvin Benjamin has struggled with some injuries. Coach said that he's healthy right now and it looks really good. What do you see with Kelvin out there so far?
Yeah, Benji's a, you know, great player, huge target. I mean, really, if you just put the ball around him, he does a great job of snagging it and making a play. So he's been awesome to work with, and looking forward to, you know, future.
AJ, what's the challenge in juggling learning the aspect and timing while also competing to try to, you know, gain an upper hand in this competition?
So what's the
challenge? Trying to do both, because you're learning at the same time, so mistakes will be made, but you're also trying to be as much on point as you can.
Yeah, I mean, you just go out and play. I mean, you really just try to take what they give you. I mean, if it's a home run, then it's a home run. If not, then, you know, if you have to throw it to the back for 6 yards, then, you know, you just live with it. That's part of the game. I mean, that's how you win. You can't always have the home run hitter. And so I think just taking what the defense gives you and just playing your game, it'll be fun.
How much so far have you gone along with Josh and looked over plays together and schemes together and worked together on the offense?
I mean, well, we all meet as QBs every day, so and every morning, and so it's really, I guess you could say, every day. I mean, we've been doing that.
What's the relationship been like with Nate and Josh so far?
They're great. Two great dudes. Nate's like a walking angel. I mean, he's one of the nicest guys you ever meet. But I mean, it's Josh has been awesome to work with, and trying to help him in every way I can. But we have a really good room. It's fun to be a part of.
Brian seems to be really hands-on in working with you guys individually out there in between drills or going over certain aspects of techniques and stuff like that. You know, compared to some of the maybe guys you've had in the past, you know, is that a little more so than you've seen in the past?
Well, I've only had are you talking from an OC standpoint?
Yeah,
or
from an OC standpoint. Just working with
coaches. No, I mean, Hugh J was real hands-on when I was in Cincy. And then Zamp was the same way when he took over. So, I mean, that's nothing new for me.
Is there a big benefit that as a quarterback when you've got a guy that's going over things pretty immediate right after they happen?
I mean, listen, you can talk all you want out there, but you still have to see it because, I mean, the camera doesn't lie. I mean, the human eye will lie sometimes. I mean, you'll think you see something and it doesn't happen. So, but the camera doesn't lie. So, I mean, you can talk about it, but until you actually see it on film and then talk about it in the film room, then I mean, you just try to take quick notes if you can. But if not, go on to the next play, play the game.
AJ, from your perspective, what are your early impressions with Tremaine Edmonds?
Yeah, I mean, he's just a big dude on defense. He covers a lot of ground. But other than that, I mean, I don't – I'm not over on that side, so I can't give you, you know, an answer on how he's doing over there. But, I mean, he's a big dude for sure, and I feel like he's, you know, he's done well.
In your eyes, how do you think you did today on the field?
I did good. We took care of the ball. We took what they gave us. We had some big plays, so thought it was good.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Awesome.
Bills quarterback after today's OTA. Steve Tasker's back in studio. He was out there doing a couple interviews. Today's one of those days. I know these days. Last day of the week. Long weekend ahead. Players in a hurry to get out of here, aren't they? Right? You probably ran up.
Players aren't the only ones, but yeah, there's a lot of people running for the exits. But yeah, but I got a chance to talk to Jordan Poirier and Tre'Davious White. We'll hear that sound in a couple of minutes. But we're also kind of once practice breaks and these guys are media availability, we kind of start juggling time slots. We're going to try and catch Josh Allen live as he comes to the podium. So if we start talking about what AJ McCarron said and we cut it off, it's because we're going to go live to Josh Allen. But AJ McCarron, I think it's interesting. You're going to get a lot of different questions to AJ McCarron than you're going to get to Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Think about what you want to know from each of those guys. It's completely different. AJ, it's like you heard it. What's the offensive coordinator like? Compare this to Cincinnati. What about the players you played with in Cincinnati? What, you know? So he's got a resume that demands some questions about what he thinks and what he feels, because his opinion about the NFL holds a little more credibility.
He's something to compare it to.
Yeah, he holds a little more credibility than a guy like Josh Allen.
I got a kick out of him, a couple of questions, not finding fault with the questions, but he was asked, do you spend much time talking with Josh Allen? And he basically, McCarron looked at the questioner and said, yeah, I'm in the meeting room with him every day. I do talk to him quite a bit.
What do you think they're doing in there?
The other one. And
meditating?
These players are in a difficult spot today with yesterday's vote on the anthem. Obviously, it just happened, and nobody quite knows how that's going to play out. You know, Sean McDermott talked about that a little bit earlier today. But McCarron at the end just said, I'm just going to do whatever coach tells us to do. Most players are probably in that camp, right? Like, yeah. I'm a football player. I don't want to get caught up in this. I don't want to say the wrong thing. Don't want to offend anybody. Many players probably are indifferent to whatever statements are being made. Look, I do think, and I asked Ben Volin this, I think part of what we're dealing with here, Steve, is a quiet news cycle news item right now. And I don't know if it'll die. And Ben's right. First preseason game, it'll be a big issue. But I think it'll die down again, just as it did last year. By the end of last year, nobody talked about pregame protests.
Yeah.
You know, I think it'll happen again.
I think by
I think McCarron, who's been around, knows that.
I think it will be an issue if one of the players decides to make it an issue, just like the way the whole thing began. And that's what
Or if somebody on the outside decides to make it an issue.
Certainly the president is in the middle of this. Everybody thinks the president of the United States is going to come in and he may, but I think it'll be off the table. Ben Volin said, they're going to be taking attendance. Who didn't? And they're going to have to watch who comes out of the tunnel after the anthem, who comes out onto the field after the anthem is played, if that is an issue, if that actually happens. Or if a player just says, you know what, I don't care. I'm going to pay the fine. I'm going to take a knee during this anthem. I'm going to do it every year, and I'm going to accept the consequences. And that will force it back onto the table, because he's not going to bow down to a silent protest.
Well, I'll talk about this all day, but you know what happened here last year, which I thought was a really good outcome? There were protests. Some of the players elected to participate in pregame protests. There were plenty of discussions. And I think as a result of some pretty intensive conversations between ownership and coaching staff and the players, they started to do positive things. Lorenzo will talk about this when he joins us in a couple of minutes. You know, the relationship they have with some local groups, I can't remember the name of them exactly, Lorenzo will know, was directly a result of the aftermath of the pregame protest. Hey, Josh Allen's the rookie standing by at the podium. Let's listen into him right now.
You know, everybody's learning a new offense. How is that? You know, what do you think about the challenge of now that you're into it, learning the new terminology and all that?
Yeah, I mean, everybody's going through the same thing right now. You know, all quarterbacks are still trying to figure out entirely what's going on with everybody. That's the tough part about being quarterback. You're supposed to know what everybody's doing on the field. You know, AJ and Nate have done a really good job. They know what they're doing out there, and they've, you know, given me a lot of knowledge, and they've helped me along the way. Obviously, we're only 3 days in, so we got a lot more install. You know, we got a lot more to do before we can say we're ready.
Jordan, I know Jordan Palmer worked with you like on studying a system for learning. Is that helpful? Been helpful to you? Or are you
absolutely? And it's not that we learned a system before. It was learning how to learn a system. So it was, you know, techniques we can use to learn formations, things we can tell ourselves when we hear a concept and go out there and try to remember it, just kind of sequencing. And Jordan did a good job with me and, you know, Sam with that.
Josh, have you ever been third on the depth chart as a quarterback on a team?
Yeah, absolutely. My junior college year, I was actually maybe third or maybe even fourth my first three or four games.
What's the challenge then in being that far on the depth chart while trying to learn and compete and all of that?
Well, the challenge with it is getting a limited amount of reps. You know, especially yesterday, it was split up where the ones and twos got more than the threes. But at the same time, it's me standing back there and trying to take mental reps, learning from what AJ and Nate are doing, you know, staying engaged the entire time.
So I kind of flipped. You got a lot more. You got a bit more today, right?
No, we all got the same today. Yeah.
So that said, if you're not getting as many reps, is there sometimes a tendency to say not try to do too much to show, you know, hey, I want more reps, I want to show that I belong here, and you kind of have to not be too aggressive maybe at times?
I mean, that's a really good question, and some people handle it differently. I'm going out there, I'm trying to do everything right. I'm not trying to do too much, and you know, whatever Coach Dable and Coach Coley are preaching to me is what I'm going to go out there, I'm going to do. I'm going to trust my teammates, put the ball where it needs to be, let them go make some plays, and it's as simple as that.
Coach Dable seems to be pretty hands-on. Can you just comment about what it's been like with Dable so far?
It's been awesome. You know, he's very energetic. He's very engaged, you know, with myself, Nate, and AJ. You know, meetings are awesome. He's super talkative. He's got a lot of information. You know, I definitely am in a really good situation here, being able to learn from AJ and Nate, and then, you know, a coach like Dable.
There was also one play out on the field. You threw a touchdown pass to Ray Ray. You got really hyped afterwards. Can you just comment on that?
Yeah, I mean, in my opinion, there's nothing better than throwing touchdowns. So even in practice, it gets the juices flowing a little bit. So I just wanted to go out there and let him know he ran a really good route, and he did what he's supposed to do. And seems as when everybody does their own job, things tend to work out for the better.
Josh, you said at rookie minicamp, you're going to kind of feel your way out once the veterans got here. It's been a few weeks, you know, that you've all been acclimated. Where are you in that process of feeling your way out on this team and being outspoken or whatever as a rookie?
You know, it's been great. You know, the guys that are here, the locker room that we have, the culture that, you know, Coach McDermott has established here, it's very family-like. So getting in and establishing relationships with the vets, you know, guys like Lorenzo Alexander and LeSean McCoy and Calvin Benjamin, you know, and I got Eddie Yarbrough, who played at Wyoming with me, and there's tons of other guys, but, you know, those are the guys that have been more notable in the past. But, you know, it's been good to get in with these guys and kind of share stories and just kind of see where each other comes from. And, you know, it's been a fun process. There's a lot of names involved with it. You know, it's getting better each day, just remembering faces and along with the names. But, man, this is a fantastic locker room that we got here.
Eye-opening is it, or maybe not, to see the DBs at this level compared to college and how tight they are, how tight the windows are that you have to fit things in, things like that?
Yeah, I mean, the game just moves a little bit faster. You know, it's not that these guys run so much faster, they're so much bigger than the guys in college, it's that they're smarter. You know, they know where they need to be. They get the route recognition a lot faster, a lot quicker. They're jumping on balls now. You know, and we got guys that are fantastic players, Micah Hyde and Poyer, and then you got, you know, a vet like Vontae Davis out there, and he's pushing our receivers to be better and, you know, making sure that our as quarterbacks, we put the ball where it needs to be.
How much will that help your growth and maybe even quicken the curve working against Trey White, Jordan Poyer, Micah Hyde, as you just mentioned? I would think going against that group only makes you better quicker.
Absolutely. You know, iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another, and that's kind of the mindset that, you know, when you practice, you should have. You should be able to look across to the guy next to you and the guy that you're competing with and say, I'm going to make you better, you're going to make me better, and go at it like that.
Mark, you're only 3 days. How the reps were doled out, how much of that was kind of pre-planned? And, you know, when they sat you down and said, this is how we want to develop you, did you kind of know going in that you would start at the bottom and work your way up?
You know, I didn't know that. You know, I expected it. You know, I'm not even looking at it that way. I'm looking to get better every day. You know, whatever reps I'm getting with whoever I'm out there with, I'm here to learn, you know, from Nate and AJ and then from Coach Dable and through experiences on the practice field. You know, balls that I can throw at the professional level and balls that I can't. And being out there, like you said, with the guys that we have out there, it's definitely a quicker learning curve, just because the guys we got are extremely good. So the process has been fun, and all you got to do is trust it.
Is there more pressure because you want to work your way up faster, or less pressure because you're starting at the bottom and there's only one place to go but up?
There's really no pressure. You know, there's nothing that's been said to me to, you know, make me feel uncomfortable or feel worried about anything at all. I'm here to get better. I'm here to, you know, be the best teammate, the best quarterback that I can be, and that's what I'm trying to do.
Josh, how comfortable are you feeling in the pocket right now out in the field?
Feeling good. You know, the drills that we're doing with Coley and Dable are really good. They definitely apply to in-game and in-practice situations, just feeling pressure from one side and subtle movements and setting your feet now and putting the ball where it needs to be.
You've now spent a couple weeks in Buffalo itself, mm-hmm. Western New York. What jumps out at you?
Obviously the people. You know, the Bills Mafia is an energetic group. They're very passionate. You know, I've gone out to eat a few times, and you know, the welcoming by the people of the community has just been fantastic. You know, we got a lot of good people, a lot of good hardworking people up here that really love football, and that's the type of environment that I want to be in.
Any of those two meals, more, please. Please.
Say it again.
Any of those meals, wings.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Having battled against adversity time and time again, we saw that in Tim's excellent series. What prevents you, or what continues to motivate you, in the sense that here you are, a number 7 draft pick, and to some people it might say, hey, I've arrived. What continues to motivate you and prevent you from feeling that sense of comfort in knowing that somebody hasn't overlooked you as far as the Bills and the number 7 pick?
Yeah, you know, I'm a very self-motivated guy, to be honest. You know, I want to play this game for as long as I can, and as long as my body will let me. So I'm going to do everything right, and that's what motivates me, is to play this game for 15 plus years and be known as one of the greats to play this game. You know, you talk about the vets in the league right now, like Drew Brees and Tom Brady, Big Ben, Philip Rivers. I mean, the list goes on, but to be talked about like one of them, you know, it takes a lot of hard work. It takes a lot of success, and in order to, you know, get success, it takes a long time to accumulate over the years, and that's what I want to do.
One more, guys? All good?
Perfect. Thank you, guys.
That's it. Josh Allen, Bills rookie quarterback, first-round draft pick, 7th overall. Josh Allen, quote, nothing better than throwing touchdowns. You indicated that's probably because he's young, right?
He's a young guy.
I like that quote.
What a sweet kid.
I'm going to get T-shirts printed up like that. Nothing better than throwing touchdowns, Josh Allen.
Yep.
What a sweet kid.
What a sweet kid.
It was great, though. I like his approach. Yeah. I like the fact that he's 22 years old, right? He's young. He is. I think this is going to work out well, folks. I have a good feeling about it.
Of course, we're dissecting everything he said as if the entire season rode on a May interview. But there's a lot in there to like. I like his take, and immediately what he said is, why is it so hard, or what's different about standing back there now if you were third on the depth chart now? What's the difference? He goes. He knew right away, hey, it's not getting reps. The reps are what the big difference is. And, you know, he knew it's taking mental reps. You got to stay engaged when you're back there. And that is exactly right. I know that the best players always do that. When the number ones are not in there, they're engaged. They see what other guys see. They want to talk about it. They want to. And in fact, you know, a good quarterback like a Ben Roethlisberger, a Dan Marino, Jim Kelly, Drew Brees, Philip Rivers, they're taking reps and they're seeing it, and they talk about to their backups what they saw, why they saw this, and they talk about it in the film room, in the quarterback room. And then, when they're not in there, it's interesting for the good quarterbacks. They want to know what their backup quarterback, what'd you see? How do you see it? What's your thought process? Because they learn from each other, and the way another quarterback views a play, a lot of times it's exactly the same as him. But some other times, his reasoning for why he sees it is just as important as the throw he makes, because it teaches other guys in the room. And that's his ability to do that, and his wisdom at knowing that is important was pretty telling, I thought.
Here's me tapping the brakes again. Where are the Bills? Look, and it's important. And as he said, and I think A.J. McCarron said it too, they've got 3 practices in, really. Up until this week, it's been conditioning work. And, yes, a little bit of individual drills and throwing walkthroughs. The last 3 days have been the closest thing we've had to real practice, these OTAs. They are practices. They look like practices. And so to get caught up in where you are in the depth chart, I love the fact that Josh Allen had basically – yes, you're right, doesn't get the reps, but there's no statement being made there. You got 2 other quarterbacks who've been around here for – a month at least before Josh Allen was even a Buffalo Bill. Of course they would get the early reps here this first week. A lot of time for things to happen. This is me tapping the brakes. A lot of time for Josh Allen to rise or fall, McCarron to rise or fall.
Do you ever get tired of being the voice of reason?
Yeah, I do. I do.
Because I don't like being the voice of reason, man. I am all in all the time. I'm like totally
the voice of reason. I'm telling you like it is.
I'm polypositive all the time, man. I'm like, yeah, this is it. This is awesome.
No, it's May. There's time. There's plenty of time.
You're right. You're right. But you know what? And I told you this too. I remember what it was like being a first-year player, and you're going out there. And there are guys out there like Austin Prohl and Robert Foster, guys we've had on, young rookie free agents, and Gerhard DeBeer.
Nice.
Who's out there. And, you know, you get this idea that, man, I can make the team today.
Yeah.
I can make the team today. I can impress guys today, and they'll never forget it. You know, that kind of thing. And you're just not going to get it done. It's just not the time for that. And like you're right, you got to pump the brakes. But it is still, it is exciting to be out there and to see, you can feel it in the air, that another team is going to take place in 2018. And they have a lot of reasons to think they might be pretty good.
We're going to talk with one of those players, a veteran who's been around for a long time. He has some thoughts on the rules changes, some policy changes in the first week of OTAs. Zo, Lorenzo Alexander, standing by to join us live here in studio when we return. Steve Tasker, John Murphy, One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back to the show, One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Steve Tasker, joining us for the next several minutes here in studio, fresh off the field after a beautiful day of OTAs. Happy to have Bills linebacker Lorenzo Alexander in studio. That was a great day out there today, wasn't it?
It was awesome. It was always great to go outside, get off this turf, you know, especially for my legs and knees and joints. It's just so much better to be on grass outside and really enjoying the weather, especially here in Buffalo this
time
of year.
It looked and felt like training camp a little bit.
No, it's not training camp.
It was sunny. It was warm.
Yeah, I guess weather-wise, yeah. There's no pads on. It's, right. Yeah, the now intensity has not stepped up yet.
Now you need to pump the brakes.
Right.
The intensity picked up from the conditioning work you've been doing for a couple
weeks.
Oh,
yeah, of course, because now you're actually competing versus some guys. You know, you actually have to run in some football plays. So it is fun to be out there. The intensity did step up, but it's nowhere near training camp at
all.
What's
the feel? I mean, what's the vibe? It's a new locker room, bunch of new guys. I mean,
I like it. I mean, I like the guys we brought in. I think Sean and Brandon have continued to do a great job of, in their second year, of bringing in men, you know, like Tre'Davious White, like a Micah Hyde, and they brought in the same character guys the second time around. And some veterans and our young guys. I mean, I think Trey has done a great job so far. I'm just looking for him to continue to do well at the mic position. He's really been controlling, I think, the calls well, making checks, and just learning each and every single day. You know, it's only been 3 days, but each day I can see that he's getting more comfortable and confident in what we're calling and where he needs to be.
I was going to ask you that. We were talking about it maybe on the show, or maybe I was talking to myself about this. He's got a lot, man, on his plate, doesn't he, Tremaine Edmonds? He's got a lot. They're putting a lot in front of him.
Yeah, it's a lot. I mean, he's the Mike. He's the quarterback of the defense. So he's making the calls. He's making the checks. If somebody's out of alignment, eventually he'll grow into where he can correct people. But right now I'm trying to help him as much as I can. Obviously Matt Milano and guys around him. Kyle Williams, I know, is definitely telling him a lot of things in the run game, what he's seeing as far as line splits. So we're all trying to pour into him as much as we can. And he's soaking it up really well. He's not a guy out there in deer in headlights, because sometimes when you give guys too much information, they slow down, clam up, and they're like, where do I go? But he's done a great job of responding, looks athletic, and then he'll just continue to grow into himself as a player and understanding of the game.
This is one of the things that people don't get is that, yeah, it's okay. You can go in there and do the X's and O's. He can make the call in the huddle. But just like you said, it's endless. Everything else he could do if he knew.
Right.
He could do if he was experienced. He could do if he had been a 5-year vet. Because like you said, if he could tap an offensive line or a defensive line to move out 3 inches.
Exactly.
He could tell this guy, hey, back off a little bit. Hey, look for this in this formation. Mm-hmm. Hey, do this. And there's a million things that are beyond just calling the play and running to the right spot.
Exactly. And the crazy thing is that he didn't do any of this in college. He was the wheel linebacker, the backer into the boundary, and he was just a flow, see ball, get ball type player. And for him to make this transition as smoothly as he's making it, I mean, it's really impressive. I mean, I think it talks a lot about his foundation, obviously his brothers being in the league, his dad of playing. He's approaching this game with a lot of maturity and just want to. He wants to be. He wants to be great, and he's accepting that role of Mike linebacker and all that it entails.
Listen, that's the characteristic. You got to want to be great. Not want to win.
Yeah.
Not want to make the team. Not want to sign a big contract. You want to be great.
Right, and that's what
that means. It's all about football and getting. And then there's no ceiling either. You got to. It just keeps getting. There's right. always something to do.
Right.
You don't ever reach a plateau where you think, okay, I've done what I wanted to do. You just don't.
Exactly.
And that's a great place to be.
Yep, and that, he has that, and it's built in him. And then and add that in with his God-given talents, I would be surprised if he's not, you know, an all-pro player in the next, you know, two, three years growing in that direction. I would be surprised, really. I mean, just his athleticism and how well he's handling information, I would be really surprised if he's not that next great linebacker, you know, in his era, like that Luke Kuechly type. I'd be surprised. Ooh.
How good could this defense be this year?
We already had this conversation. Obviously, I'm going to say top 10, if not better.
Didn't you say top 5 last week?
We should be top, but that wasn't the answer. It was middle of the
Twitter
range
poll.
Or top 10.
You're right.
Yeah, so that was
I hope you're top 10. I do.
Matt Milano said top 5.
Oh, that's right. Milano said top 5. What? Nothing has happened yet to make this.
I know.
We already talked about this. It's 3 games. You have – average games in those 3 games and not horrendous games, and you're top 10.
Don't get your guard up, Murph. I'm just
why are you trying to pick fights?
I'm asking him a question. That's all. All right, now the important stuff.
Right.
Kickoff rules. You and I. Nobody knows what it's going to look like.
Right.
But it's going to be different.
It's a lot different.
Yeah. So early returns are, and I've been talking to guys, and all of us kind of had this idea that, man, all of a sudden the lid's kind of come off the return game a little bit because of the standing start.
Mm-hmm.
But they are given 15 – or 15. There's going to be 8 guys up close
right.
in the alignment. Now, most people, aside from the running start that goes away, it's going to look kind of the same.
Right.
But the techniques are going to be very different.
It's going to be different, I think, mainly just because of the timing. Because of that extra 5 yards kind of running head start you get into it. You know, you probably be down the field maybe, I don't know. I don't know what that speed is going to gain you for, maybe
that's
5
just it.
Yards.
Yeah, you don't know.
You don't know yet how the timing is going to work out. So it's definitely, as a guy that covers kicks, it definitely would determine whether or not I'm a button presser guy, which I probably wouldn't do because the guy's going to already have the ball. So I don't necessarily want to engage the returner or the guy that's blocking me unless the ball is right behind
me. Would you call yourself a what guy?
A button pusher?
Button press guy. What button press means if a guy is – the kickoff team or kickoff return team is retreating back to block me. I'm running down. If the ball is within, let's say, 5 yards of him, I'm not going to try to run around him because a great returner is just going to run the opposite way. So I'm going to run right down the middle of him, two-gapping, push him back, decrease the air or the space between him and the blocker and make the returner make a decision. And when he makes a decision, I rip off and then make the play to that side.
Right. See, that's the thing, and that's why this is – so intriguing to me because it's that timing that is the catalyst for every great return.
Right.
When the guy's coming up and the returner's got the ball in his hands, if he can go full speed, make a cut off a block just as they engage, because what happens is the coverage guy, like Lorenzo's saying, he's coming down. You take a guy on physically, you're going to pick a side. You're going to either go to his right, to his left, or go right at him. And even if you go right at him, you know, if the guy's on either side of you, pick a side.
Right.
The returner, the timing is such, and the returners are usually good enough athletes to pick the blank spot. There ain't nobody there. And he'll just put his foot in the ground, and he's through that hole at full speed, gone. And that is the crucial element in great returns is the timing of the front line blockers and the coverage guys. And for the last few years
–
it just kind of hasn't existed. The guy catches it, takes about 3 steps out of the end zone, and there's already guys around their blocks. You know, so he's got to avoid a guy trying to get out to the 20.
Yeah.
Forget about breaking the front line. Right?
Right, yeah. I mean, that's key. We already had this, not as much. It won't be as significant even when we went from the 30-yard line to the 35. That had to change for kickoff return
and
the timing. So it's even going to be even more drastic now. And like we were talking earlier, now it's going to, I think, be more of a space game and give the returners a little bit more time to set up blocks and maybe even have some bigger returns, which innately may create a world where kickoff teams or special teams coaches want to kick the ball out of bounds or kick the ball out of the end zone and give it at the 25 versus giving up returns that may come out to the 30-yard line if that's the average.
That's been the big thing lately, because I told you this, Murph, we've been talking about it. For the first time in football history, the last 2 years when they moved the 35 up and they start and they moved the touchback to the 25,
right.
For the first time in history, it was better in a field position on average not to return the football.
Right.
That's the first time it's ever happened. It's been the last 2 years when they moved it out to the 25. Their average starting time for return was like the 23, 24.
Right.
And it just didn't make sense to return the ball. Mm-hmm. So then, conversely, it incentivized teams kicking it to have them return
it. Right.
And now the league's like, well, God, we were trying to get rid of those things, you know, and now we incentivized them to actually return. You
right,
know,
so this may be
forced to be returned.
Help the reverse or the flip side of it, hopefully.
Yeah, Lorenzo we'll Alexander in studio with us. Let me ask you about the other thing they approved today. Helmet hits will lead. When it first came out back in March, you raised a concern about helmet hits and ejections. It seems like the league's backed off it a little bit, and they're going to all the ejections will be subject to a replay review. Does that handle it from your perspective or not really?
No, I mean, what is the letter? What's the ruling actually say? I don't know what the.
I can find
see, for me, even when you review something, it's such split second. So is it like just the Ryan Shazier hits where my helmet is all the way down? Or is it if I hit a guy with my face mask when I'm coming in to make a shoulder tackle? What is it? Because for me, like I keep saying, the only players getting ejected are going to be defensive guys. You're not going to see a running back dipping. He's lowering his target, dipping his shoulder. He's creating that new pad target. Level he's, target and yeah. he's engaging me too because he is running at me as well, and now I have as a defender I either have to lay off, maybe he breaks a tackle, or I get ran over and I look soft and you putting stuff on tape
or you here's what happens, you give him your chest, his helmet duck, you give him your chest, all of a sudden you get go back, the back of your head hits the ground, you got the concussion.
Right. You see, so it's a lot of things that I just don't know, and it's football at the end of the day, and we have to figure out a way to play it safe, but at the same time, there's no legislation where you're going to just make injuries and concussions zero sum. There's no way you can do it.
The thing that gets me, too, is they've got it worded, and they brought out some video to show guys. And a lot of times, and see what you thought about this, and I'm sure you've seen the video of it, where it's like the second guy in where he's kind of light the guy up. And I get that. Mm-hmm. I mean, coming in the second guy, but you do still have to, like if the guy's got him held up, and he's trying to fight him against getting a first down, you've got to come in and have some momentum. How you deliver the momentum, I guess, is the big thing. But you see these guys.
Right. Some of these I get. I mean, that's bad. He's ducking his head, and it's egregious. I understand that. This one is bad, too. He ducks his head.
Yeah, that was a pretty bad one.
These are risky plays.
We're watching these on MSG. Our viewers can see it. But on radio, our audience, they're showing some highlights from the season this past year, and they're being highlighted as ejections. And they when they show them like that in slow motion,
of course, you're going to be like,
But you know what? It ain't easy.
It's not. Because there's going to be some that are gray area that are, okay, hit him with his face mask, he's looking at him, but his helmet hits first, his shoulder helmet, I mean.
You think the catch rule was hard to interpret? Wait till they get a load of this thing.
So I just don't like it. So it's going to be too hard, and to eject a guy for, you know, coming in and making a good football play, it's going to be hard for me to swallow.
Yeah. All right, we got a few more minutes with Lorenzo. We'll take a break, come back with that. One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. We're coming to you from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back to the big show. John Murphy, Steve Kasker. Lorenzo Alexander's in studio with us for a couple of more minutes here. The lowdown with Lorenzo for a couple more minutes. Lorenzo, it's back. The controversy about pregame policy, the NFL yesterday, the owner is approving a new pregame policy that requires that all team and league personnel on the field should stand and show respect for the flag, and if they choose not to stand, they may stay in the locker room.
Right.
You went through this last October. Where are we now? What do you think? What do you think of yesterday's vote?
You know, it really doesn't surprise me at all. I understand why the owners are passing this rule. Obviously, they're business owners, and us protesting impacts their business. I don't necessarily agree with it, but I understand it because I was a business owner at one time, and you're trying to do things and trying to play both sides and try to get things together. Fortunately, from here, we have ownership that also cares about the community, and they are willing and are eager to putting money back in this community as well and initiatives as well. And it's not just a very simple, you know, blanket statement. You know, it's a very complex situation. So I'm looking forward to controlling what I can control. And that's making an impact in this community alongside the Buffalo Bills organization. So we're very eager. We actually have meetings already set up with ownership, the community service department, that's going to be pretty much player driven about how we can make an impact in the inner city of Buffalo, and like we did last year.
Yeah.
You know, very a microcosm of what we want to do. When we impacted maybe, I think, five or six different places where we have players go out. We also have in the works of coming up with some type of initiative, you know, whether it's education, social injustice, whatever that looks like, we don't know yet. That's what the meetings are for. But really just to streamline our impact and effort and our influence into the community to really help create change. And just trying to figure out a way that creates the most impact, you know, because education, for example, normally impacts a lot of different things. Kids going to college, being successful, having a job, having an understanding of how to impact their communities legislative-wise. So that's why I think people tend to go that way, because it impacts so many different things, yeah. Family structure, the more educated you are, I mean, all that stuff normally. So that's what we're trying to figure out now. How can we mostly be impactful in this Buffalo community and move forward past just protesting? Because that's one part of it, one piece. I think we did a good job of creating the conversation. Now we need to follow up, work with the people that are in these different institutions of really creating change that people, everyday people in these communities can really feel and see and grow from and benefit from.
I mentioned to Steve, you just said it. You guys figured it out last year. And again, from my outside perspective looking in, you figured out a way to take it beyond just a simple pregame protest and, right. and do some good. It sounds like you're ready to do that again.
Yeah, and giving our time, it. Energy, and money. And obviously it's player-led right now, but I know Kim and Terry are very eager to adopt this culture and make it what the Buffalo Bills organization does. Definitely from a staff perspective and a player perspective, because players come and go. So, you know, obviously I'm here now, Micah, Jerry, Steve Hoschka, a lot of people that are involved in this, but in a couple of years I'll be gone. So what we're trying to do right now is try to set up a legacy that it goes beyond me and who I am and the Bills, because people are going to flow in and out of this organization over the next, you know, 10, 15, 20 years. And we want to still have a solid connection to the community and understanding and impact in those areas that really need to be addressed.
And one of the things, too, that you were just mentioning, that the league is going to match the money you guys put in. So up to $250,000
right.
is going to go into your thing from the players.
Mm-hmm.
And then the league will match that.
Right.
And so that's a – so
yeah, it's a $500,000
yeah,
you know, annually.
Do some good.
To really impact the areas in Buffalo that really need the help. So that's what we're going to be looking to do over these next couple of weeks, of coming up with a divisive plan where we're not just throwing money and sprinkling it all over the place, but really streamlining it so that it makes the most impact in kids' lives and family lives.
Last question I have for you on this topic today. Is there any chance that teams, maybe Bills, maybe not the Bills, could be divided by this, by the way that the owners have set up this stay indoors if you want,
yeah,
come outside?
I mean, I think they are divided on it as it is. I mean, you heard the Jets owner come out saying that he's going to pay the fines for his players. I think at the end of the day, they – you know, it was a compromise between the owners with this policy because they didn't want to force guys to stand. So they, okay, well, you can let your guys stay in if the team decides to come out. So they tried to do the best way they could. You know, and at the end of the day, do I agree with it? I don't think I do. But, I mean, it's okay because we can still use our platforms in various ways, like me being on the show right now to talk
yeah.
about it.
Yeah.
Social media, you know, going out in the community. There's other ways where guys can mobilize and get their voice across and voice heard and really still address a lot of these issues that's going in our communities every day.
Speaking of doing stuff off the field, your Aces Foundation bowling event is a couple of Saturdays away now, right?
June 9th. Can't wait to get out there. Buffalo Bowling Benefit, .eventbrite.com if you want to register. We still have about 50 tickets or so left. We've had some great people. Dunn Tires really stepped up to be our title sponsor in the event. So thank you to them, Rob and everybody over there, Dunn Tires, for stepping up. And so I'm just eager to get out there, have some fun. We'll have players out there. Harrison Phillips will be there. Okay, Josh is coming
what's
out.
What's the format? I mean,
is it a contest? They have 24 lanes over at Strikers Lane.
Right,
so
right.
There will be six people on each lane. Then I'll sprinkle some players throughout. And the team that has the highest score will win a prize, and then the highest bowler will win a prize. I had some trophy stuff, some pictures, autograph stuff to hand out to those people. So it's a competition, but at the end of the day, relating, having a great time, raising money for South Park High School and the Bell Center.
That's always the fun part.
Right.
Hey, you survived the long Buffalo winter with your family.
Yes,
here.
I did.
And now the payoff. You're here for what looks like to be a great Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah, we're really enjoying it. Looking forward to it. I have some stuff tomorrow with the American Diabetes Association. We're actually going to have a youth camp out here for about 15 kids on the field. Going over to Spot Coffee to hang out. So if any fans want to come check me out, I'll tweet it out later, the exact location. I'll be over there. And then Sunday, I have a friend, Chris Wilson, played with him in Washington for about 5 years. Him and his family are coming down like brothers. This is what I love about football. Mm-hmm. The relationships that you have, you know all about it, Steve. Get together. We're going to go over to Niagara, hang out, probably do Maid of the Mist. And then my cousin's here locally. He's a chef, so Monday he's going to barbecue, and I'll have some of the fellas over.
Oh, so you're going pro with the barbecue. It's not like you with a chef hat out of the grill.
Yeah, not somebody, me. He's a chef. Yeah, he throws down. Last year he did it for my son's birthday, so this year he's doing Memorial Day for us.
You done Maid of the Mist before?
I've done it. It's pretty cool.
It's really cool.
That's probably the best part about doing it. Going to look at it, you do that one time, okay. Going down in there, it's pretty impressive. You don't realize how strong the winds and the water and getting wet is.
You're chugging up to the base of the falls. And the first time I did, I was like, well, that's it. They got to turn around now.
Right.
No, chug. Well, they got to turn around. And all of a sudden you look up and there's the Horseshoe Falls falling right on top of it. It's the greatest ride. Really.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I've never done it.
No,
come on, man.
Really?
I've never done it.
I know a guy that knows a guy that can get you hooked up.
Yeah, I got to go. It's funny because when I was – everybody comes up, like you. Everybody comes up. They got to go.
Yeah, you got to go.
And either I was working or what. Now that we've been here for 3 decades, now nobody comes up anymore, right? So I never, while I was playing, everybody went. And I was always, so I never had a time to go. And then, you know, I said,
well, you gotta go.
We're going Sunday. We're going Sunday. What are you doing Sunday? You can come with us.
I got a member golf tournament.
Oh, okay. Lorenzo, have a great weekend.
It's not Maid of the Mist.
Have a great weekend.
Great seeing you, Lo.
Yeah, we'll always.
See you
again.
Lorenzo Alexander joining us in studio. More to come. One more hour to go. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. And this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.